Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure, coming to you from Waikiki Beach, coming to you on the beach in Waikiki, right next to St. Augustine's by the Sea Catholic Church. In fact, this studio is almost directly over where the altar is. So we're glad to have with us as our guest today, Dan Burke, his new book, Finding Peace in the Storm. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. My wife, Cindy, always loves it if we start off our time by making the sign of the cross in Hawaiian. Ake makua ke keiki a me ke uhana hemalele. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, here in Hawaii, we had really good surf this summer. And sometimes when you paddle out, if the wave's 15 to 20 foot, and you have a wipeout, you get tumbled all over. You're tossed about by the waves. You really have no idea which way is up and which way is down. On a big wave, you know, maybe 20 foot plus, when you're down there, you're just like we call it being like a doll in a dog's jaw. You're just whipping you all over the place. Sometimes when you're held down far enough, your leash that's attached to your board will tug on you. The board at some point is going to tombstone just above the water. And you know, okay, well, that way's probably up. But eventually, you know, if you're lucky, you hit bottom and you know, okay, well, that's down. And you can push off from there. But the most important thing to do during a wipeout is to bring your arms and your legs in so they don't get dislocated or, you know, ripped away. And you rest. If you fight in the middle of that, you're going to run out of oxygen real fast. So we learn here to just relax. Go to your happy place. For me, it's beginning to say the Our Father. And it's amazing how I feel like I'm being held down for forever when I'm just holding my breath and trying to survive. But when I begin to say the Our Father, the time goes by because my focus is in the right place. And that storm, that turbulence eventually passes. And then I go to the surface. And the thing about holding your breath is you know, when you really hold your breath for a long time, your fingers begin to go kind of tingle because you're losing oxygen. The blood starts to be pulled in from your extremities. So when you actually get to the surface, it's hard to get to the surface. Sometimes you have to wait for that wave to pass over you. Then you swim for the surface. Oh, here's another wave, and you're driven right back down into the washing machine, right back down to the bottom. And it releases you, and then you swim for the surface again. But eventually, when you do break the surface, the closer you see that you're getting to the top, and the top of the ocean could look so far away. But the closer you get, the closer you are to hell, finally being able to breathe, but it gets harder and harder and harder to hold your breath the closer you get. But when you break through the surface, the sun never seems brighter. Oxygen comes flowing into you, and you have this new life. And, you know, we have as a guest today, Dan Burke, writing about this based on the writings of Reflections of St. Alphonsus Liguori, Finding Peace in the Storm. And I love this. Oh, Dan, it's so perfect. Uniformity with God's will. Dan, I'm just going to say this to you, then we're going to get rolling. My own personal creed is the most radical quest you can pursue in life is to abandon yourself to the wild adventure of God's will. And that's what it's all about. Dan, thank you for writing this book. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I love that analogy. I've actually never heard it. I used to live on Corral Beach, which is right adjacent to Malibu Beach. When I was a kid, and I tried to learn to surf on my own. My brother was a surfer, but he wasn't my friend, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Older brother.
And I was in one of those, and I did the opposite of what you said. I put my arms out, and I almost drowned. And if I'd had you for a teacher, I would have probably not given up. But I did give up because I just felt, you know, I was way too out of control. And I'll quote you, or I'll give you credit, I remember, but wow, what a great analogy for the problems we encounter when we're in a storm, because it's so easy to feel out of control. And and the reason I gave up, you know, striving to learn the skill was I had no conception of how to solve that problem. And I had, I had a previous, almost a drowning experience before. So I was already afraid of the water. Right. And so now I'm getting tossed around, and that's an analogy for wounds that we have, right? That precede.
Right. They paralyze.
So I had fear, and then I entered into a situation where I felt totally out of control. And I did the opposite of what I was supposed to do. And thankfully, you know, the waves weren't as big as they are in your neck of the woods. And I was fine. I ended up being pushed over into some kelp against some rocks in a very hard place to swim.
I know that area. I remember once, I think the gnarliest wipeout I ever had was Rincon Beach up north, up by towards Santa Barbara. And I remember literally being thrown onto the rocks by Highway 1, Pacific Coast Highway, and being glad because I could hang on to those rocks. Were you glad when were thrown up on the rocks?
No, I was. I was just generally terrified. I was a teenager, young teen.
Yeah,
and was not equipped at all. So,
well, there's an analogy there, Dan. I mean, I was thrown up on those rocks. And I hung on with one hand, and I unleashed my leg from my board, my leash from me with the other hand, thinking the board might suck me right back out when the wave took me out, because the waves were breaking all the way up onto Highway 1. And you know, that's the thing, cling to that rock, you know?
Yeah.
So I, you know, a lot of people have gone through that experience, that exact experience, but also in life, everyone listening in some way or other has had that experience.
Well, in your own world right now, how many thousands have been affected by the fires and the all that's the homes that are destroyed and your dad, yeah. Was it? Your dad.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, that's that image of the suddenness of what can happen in your life, and like Thomas Akempis said, you know, death seems to sneak up on people quicker than they think. It comes suddenly. And so my dad was actually a deacon at this Catholic church there, Maria Lenaquila Catholic Church, which means Mary, Our Lady of Victory. And he probably baptized and married a lot of the people there that are affected in one way or the other. But that fire swept through that town to the point where everywhere you look, it's just gray. You know, you don't think that a cement building or a metal building could collapse and be burned up, but things were, it was so hot, the melting of the metal and everything. But there at Maria Lenaquila, the church school burnt down, but the church itself, it's stark, the image of the church is the only thing left standing in the middle of all the destruction. An absolute miracle. There was a painting in that church, the Divine Mercy painting is in that church. But what really it is, Dan, you know what I mean? It's like that church is not a symbol of hope at all. It's not a symbol. It's actually the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist that actually is hope. Not a symbol, is hope.
Right.
And so they held Mass in there just right away. And it's been kind of a beacon. It's been definitely a beacon for everyone. So thank you for asking. Yeah, thank you for asking.
And your dad's okay?
Well, my dad is more than okay because he's joined my mother in heaven about four years ago.
Oh, so before all this happened.
Yeah, he left with great joy, as did my mother on her trip to Hawaii.
Awesome.
Yeah, amen.
I lost my father about the same time, and he came to be convert right before he died. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Wow, what a blessing, isn't it? The death of the saints is precious in the sight of the Lord. What a profound scripture that is.
Amen.
But you know, through these trials that we go to, there is definitely a process of God asking us to die to self. You know,
yeah.
and how precious that is when we do say, God, not my will, but your will be done, as Jesus said, the Mount of Olives, you know.
Well, I mean, if you just compare the method I used when I got crashed and the method you used and you got crashed, what's the outcome? I abandon the quest to experience this beautiful sport that you know so well. Mm. And you you'd learned a way to be at peace in the storm, which means you remained in the context of that, let's just call it a symbol of grace and a joyful experience. And that's what we do oftentimes. Actually, it's more instinctive to do what I did, unless you have great saints in the magisterium and the, you know, the teachings of the church to help you. No, your instincts aren't good here. Let's look at a different perspective. Let's get your intellect aligned with the way it really works. Arms in, roll, relax, instead of arms out, flail.
Yeah, you're being right in the fetal position, about a baby as you can be, if you want to talk about childlike faith.
Right. So, and that's a great analogy for exactly what St. Alphonsus is teaching, because when we have circumstances in life that dash us, you know, around against the rocks, that harm us, we have innate defense mechanisms for self-preservation, which, absent of concupiscence, work pretty well.
Well, we got to take a break, Dan. Let's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you know why it's a good time? Because now I know you're about to go deep. So we better get ready. We're talking with Dan Burke. You know, Dan, where can people find you?
SpiritualDirection.com is always the easiest way. It's the doorway into everything we do.
Amen. Praise God. SpiritualDirection.com. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. You can gain traction in the virtues in my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. And you can be inspired by my personal testimony of heartache and triumph with my book, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, both newly published by Sophia and available at our web store, deepadventure.com, and also on amazon.com.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You know why we call it the Bear Wozniak Adventure is because everyone is on an adventure. You're on an adventure. I love the scripture verse where God says, I know what I have in store for you. Plans for peace, not destruction. Our future reserved for you, full of hope. If you seek me, I will let you find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. I'm supposed to remind you, my new book published by Sophia, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? It's just a book of grit and grace. It's kind of like a father speaking to a son, or brothers talking to each other, challenging each other, and pretty gritty stuff you wouldn't normally think you'd be having a conversation about. But it's a great thing for my mama bears out there to get into, to buy, read for yourself, and give them to your daughters too, to help them understand maybe more what a real man is like, although the image of their father probably does that for them too. But it's just a great book to get into young men's hands, into men of all ages. So mama bears, you're the ones on the front lines that get these books into the men's hands. But men too, you can go to deepadventure.com, get an autographed copy, or go to amazon.com to order, or to Sophia, because we're going to be traveling for 2 or 3 months. We won't be able to work with our store. But go get this book into the men into your mama bears, get this into your men's hands, and men, go and get the book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Read it with your sons, and join us in the man cave at deepadventure.com too, and journey with these other men that are part of the man cave. Our guest today is Dan Burke. You know, Dan, I printed out your bio, and in scrambling to try to get our email, I don't have your current bio, but I know you and I met in a car, in a taxi, when you were, I believe, the editor for the National Catholic Register, I think, and now...
I was the executive director. I think when we met, I may have been the president of EWTN News by then.
Yes, that's right.
EWTN Global News.
Wow.
I retired from that in 2019 due to health reasons. And I had founded an institution prior to that called the Avila Institute, where we do spiritual formation for priests, religious, and laity in 90 countries. We have had... We've prepared 500 men for the priesthood since we've been had our doors open to help the priesthood. And so that's what I do full time now. I used to do that and EWTN, and my body said, you got to pick.
Well, the Lord said it.
Right, of course.
The Lord said it. Yeah, I know. It is interesting, Dan Hall, when you're involved in the new evangelization, there's always more to do.
Yeah.
But even Jesus, you know, he would go away and have his quiet times. And this beautiful, the things that I get from you, I get your emails, you know, from the Avila Institute, and the things that we get, just an invitation to go deeper with the Lord. And that's what this book, you know, when you find trials in your life and the storm is coming, you know, what did Peter do, you know? He's walking out on the water with Jesus, and he starts sinking. I wonder if Jesus reached down and grabbed his hair. I've rescued a lot of people by grabbing their hair.
Really?
Yeah, it's because it's the first thing you see. Or maybe Jesus grabbed his hands. Maybe Peter has a sore head from Jesus grabbing his hair. But you know, but he did say, "Lord, save me, I perish."
Yeah.
So tell us about this. Tell us about this in the Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will.
So we were talking about the analogy of the differences in dealing with the storm that you and I had. And the problem, so we have an innate design that's a gift from God, and that is, it's a survival instinct. But sometimes it has to be trained, and when it's corrupted by concupiscence, it really has to be trained. So you could have trained me to survive better in the water. I could know how to surf now. Similarly, spiritually, we need to be trained, you know, because our instincts, when we feel a threat of any kind, anxiety, fear, you know, sadness, anything that sort of disrupts or disorients us, like I was under the water, if we're not properly spiritually trained, you'll do what I did, which almost got me killed, instead of what you did, which led to you having peace and being able to keep having fun and, you know, surviving. Well, what does that look like in the spiritual life? Well, the first thing is, when the storms hit, you know, I'm in a storm right now, I'll just use me. I suffer from life-threatening lung disease. That's why my voice sounds the way it is right now. It's very hard for me to breathe. I've only in the last week moved about a foot away from what is known as a medical cliff, where I have to enter into the hospital again.
Dan, can you pause for a second?
20 years ago, yeah, I can tell you that when I entered into these storms, there were times when it broke me, and I would end up in frustration and tears, and I'm in an ambulance, and it's like, again, you know, again, it's again. But right now, I can honestly say to you, I have a great deal of peace. What's the difference? The difference is, I've learned that I need this disease to humble me. I've learned that it's an instrument of love, mercy, love, mercy, and kind of a whittling away of my brokenness by the hand of God. Mm. The trial is a gift. You know, I started getting sick before, you know, about a week ago, and I realized, oh wow, the synod is coming. Mm. And I thought, this is perfect. You know, maybe I'll get better. I'm glad if I do. I'll pray for that. But just like Jesus in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. And if I'm not going to get better, Lord, please accept the meager offering of my suffering. Mm. Please join it with your, you know, unfathomable grace and offering, as you've invited us to in Scripture. Magnify my meager offering with your glorious offering for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the synod and synodality. Please don't allow any error to emerge. Please suppress the dark forces. Please increase the voices of the faithful. You know, so one is one picture of me is weeping, angry, frustrated. And what was happening when I was weeping, angry, and frustrated is I didn't understand that this is the God's will. I've been healed of heart disease. Okay, I've been literally I had a 99% blockage, and I had a 60% blockage, and I had a priest, and I had a surgery for one, and a prayer for another, and I was healed. God does that.
Yeah, I've been healed too. I know what you mean. Yeah.
But sometimes He doesn't, and there's always a reason, and it's always good.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to learn. When I was in an angry ball, it was not only bad that I was sick, but I was saying no to God.
Mm.
No, I don't want this. Mm. Take this away from me. Why is this happening to me again? What did I do to deserve this? You hear all the self-pity. It's even emotional for me to say it.
Mm.
Instead, it's yes. Please use it. Please humble me. Please prepare me for heaven. I don't want purgatory. I want your plan, you know.
Mm.
But those are two extremes. But the hard part is, how do you get from one to the other? One is no to God's will in the storm, which causes more. That's the cocktail of doubt, despair, and narcissism.
Say it again. What is it again? The cocktail of what?
It's a cocktail of doubt, despair, and narcissism, which is the opposite of the virtues of faith, hope, and love.
Doubt, and narcissism. What is it?
Doubt. Unbelief, despair, and narcissism versus faith, hope, and love.
Wow.
Faith, hope, and love comes when we say, you know, the first way you do it, of course, is you learn these truths. You learn that He either causes or allows all things. There's no other option. Mm-hmm. Cause or allow.
Mm-hmm.
You understand why He would cause or allow. You begin to have a deeper trust in His love. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, of course, it takes life experience. You have to be taught to not put your arms out, hold them in. You're scared because you're doing the opposite of what your instincts tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, oh, this works. And because of that act of faith to do what Bear told me to do, which I never had, or somebody told you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you took the act and you trusted them and you did it and you learned, oh, this works contrary to my instincts.
Mm.
And then you can live in the power of that truth.
You know what?
And we have to train ourselves.
You know, faith leaps, but first it has to rest.
Yeah.
And I remember once, I think as a Holy Spirit, I just heard, you know how you kind of get maybe it was just inspiration of some sort, but the word rest has the word recognize at the beginning, the R-E from recognize,
mm-hmm.
that He's God and you're not. And then it has the S-T of trust,
mm-hmm.
at the end, which is to say trust in Him. So that rest is just recognizing He's God and you're not.
Right.
And saying, I trust you. And there's a great, you know, I remember once, Dan, I read through the whole Bible, the New Testament, the Old Testament, the New Testament again, all in a 6-week period of time. And there were different themes. When you read that, when you fast forward like that, you can see themes. One of the greatest, two of the most profound themes I saw was, my people don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And the second was that the scripture verse, strive to enter into God's rest. So mm-hmm. So when you're flailing about and you're trying so hard, you're just trying at the wrong thing. You got to work really hard at resting sometimes, you know. You have to just make it a say, Lord, I trust in you. We're talking, I think I'm kind of getting that point across. And of course, it's the promised land of rest that God leads us to. It's when we rest that then God can say, okay, now I'm going to send you. And then the leap takes place. We're talking with Dan Burke. He's the author of a new book, From Sophia, Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. I will be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
This is Daniel Laboon Markham with another episode of Country Up, Chivalry. One of my 7 daughters, yep, 7 as in 6 plus 1, commented with some surprise how pleased she was with her new suitor because he gave her respect, gentleness, and manners. That boy's chivalry lifted her up. read his Somi card that said, "Chivalry isn't dead, it just fell asleep on the couch with beer and the TV blaring." I was at a conference with some feminist friends who were a mite disappointed in me when I opened the door for them. My response, "Well, ladies, my mama learned me to respect women in such ways, and my mama is still speaking to me from heaven. It's just the way it is." As a young lad, I clearly remember my mama saying as we were walking to the local hardware store, "Daniel, always remember to walk a woman with you between her and the street." "Yes, mama." Songwriter Trevor Wesley, in his song "Chivalry Is Dead," wrote, "But I'm not a kid no more, so I must open doors and make you feel like the lady you are. My mama raised me to be classy, not flashy. I'm happy to please you, though I can tell that's not what you're used to." Men, being a gentleman is a choice. It's not a given. You work at it, and it's far more than taking the trash out or opening a door. Man up and treat women always with kindness and gentleness, nurturing their womanhood with respect. They'll respect you in return and make you feel like a real man. Most women deep in their hearts think chivalry is hot. By the way, selfishness is not. It's time to wash the dishes and clean the kitchen, I think. This is Daniel the Boone Markham at countryup.org on a journey a few miles this side of heaven.
Did you know that each Saturday morning you can receive the shareable YouTube video version of the Bear Woznick Adventure in our inspiring weekly newsletter, even before it airs on the radio or hits the podcast apps? Never miss another episode. You can even binge watch Bear's inspiring guests. Think about the impact you can have sharing these videos with your friends. Go to deepadventure.com and click the subscribe button.
Be the kind of man that when he gets out of bed in the morning, the devil says, "Oh no, he's up." Go to deepadventure.com and invite Bear to speak.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Woznick Adventure. Our guest today is Dan Burke. I just don't want to make him feel more holy or special than he is, but whenever I receive letters from or I just think about Dan, I had a chance to meet him a few years ago. I just sense a real sacredness, a real holiness. And that type of holiness tends to come from brokenness. There's first that brokenness that the Lord allows in our lives so that he can put things, you know, sometimes in life you feel like the straw man in the Wizard of Oz. Part of me is over there, part of me is over there, part of me is over here. But the Lord has a way of breaking and then putting things back together in their right order. And, you know, humility, meekness is not weakness. You think about a powerful warhorse. A powerful warhorse is very meek. He's totally submitted to the rider's will to charge right into battle. So when you find yourself in a period of brokenness where you seem to have come to an end of yourself, well, that's good, because it's when you at the end of yourself that you really find yourself, because you really at that moment hear the still small voice in you saying, knocking on the door saying, "Let me in." So in your moment of brokenness, that is a great place to be. Some of you have been betrayed in relationships. Some of you have health issues. Maybe your career or your financial situation has been reversed. Regardless of what you feel, maybe some of you even feel betrayed by your pastor. Regardless of what you feel, it's in brokenness where the Lord can come in and really bring healing. I don't know if I'm saying it very well, but I'm going to ask Dan Burke to kind of share with us a little bit about that. What is it? What is that? You were talking about how God may allow, it's either his will or he allows things in our lives.
Yeah. I mean, I want to go back to something you said a minute ago. You said you have to rest. And I want to talk about what that looks like, because that is, in a sense, one of the first steps to breaking out of this kind of pattern of self-reliance and self-sufficiency, of trying to solve the storm or fighting against the storm in your humanity. And let's go to Jesus in the boat, as you did. Jesus came to them and he walked on the water towards them, and they were afraid. They were in a major storm, and of course that would have looked really creepy out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And he called to Peter, once they figured out it was Jesus, he calls to Peter and he says, "Peter, come to me." And understand this, Jesus knows what's gonna happen. He wasn't surprised by what happened. And he knew Peter was gonna be okay, and it didn't, Peter didn't. Jesus knew. God always knows we're going to be okay if we turn to him. So he calls him out to teach him how to deal with the storm, to teach him about faith, right? That's why he did it. So he calls him out. Peter gets out, he steps on the water. Think about this. He immediately experiences a miracle. Physiological miracle. But what's fascinating is how hard it is sometimes to overcome our brokenness, our human nature. And really, in a sense, we can't. And that's part of the lesson, right? So he experiences a miracle immediately. He feels it. You know, you've never walked on water. Every time you step in water, you sink. Me too. Imagine that, right? And a storm. Imagine being in the worst waves you've ever been in. And you're walking on that, and it's not affecting you. But then Peter, because of his humanity, his concupiscence, which he had as well, an original sin.
Can you define concupiscence, please, Dan, for a lot of our listeners?
Concupiscence is our tendency towards sin. It's just all of us have a natural a tendency because of original sin towards sin.
Okay.
It's a tendency toward doubt, despair, and narcissism. It's a tendency away from God. It's a self-sufficiency, right? So he's looking at Jesus. What does he do? Then he looks away. What's the problem? And he looks at the storm, and he looks at the threat, right? Well, that then floods his body with fear, opposite of faith. It separates him from God in that moment. And now he begins to sink. And then, of course, we know that Jesus, he cries out and Jesus rescues him. But that's how we have to learn to have faith, how to deal with storms. We have to exercise to the best of our ability and say, "I don't understand why this hurts so bad or why it needs to. But you are a good God, and I'm in your hands. And I know I'm going to be okay, and I know you're going to bring good out of this." Now, 5 minutes from that, you might go, "Oh, you know, I can't take this. You know, help me, Jesus." That process is okay. There's nothing wrong with
it. At least you're calling on Jesus, right?
Yes, exactly.
Even in your doubt, you're calling on the right person, right?
Right. But what you do is, over time, you learn. I remember the first time I went into surgery in peace was when I had my first heart surgery. And I went in because I had been studying these themes of Catholic mystical truth. I went in going, "I'm going to be fine. I don't care if I live or die. It's up to Jesus." I had a 99% blockage in my widowmaker. It was an emergency surgery. And I remember getting a list of people I was going to offer it up for, because I hate anesthesia and how it feels.
Okay. Now I want to ask you a question about that before we go on. What do you mean by offer it up? It's a very Catholic teaching, and it's hard to can you actually explain that biblically and theologically for a moment? I don't want to distract you from the heart of your message, but that's a very rare sort of teaching.
So why don't I do it in the context of the story?
I think it'll be helpful. Yes. Okay.
So I knew how uncomfortable I would be because I would have had more surgeries than I can count. And I knew I hate anesthesia and the feeling of it. And I knew I would only be partially sedated for the surgery. I know that sounds crazy, but they have to do it that way. I didn't feel any pain, much pain, but it was very uncomfortable. I felt them cutting on me, by the way. But it wasn't painful. I could just feel my skin being separated. So as the medicine was coming down the tube, you could see it to enter into my veins. I began to say, "What I suffer, I offer, Lord, as a prayer, as a sacrifice for this person, for the salvation of this person. I join this suffering with you and your suffering for the salvation of these people, for these intentions. So that's what it means to offer your suffering up, to take it, to join it with Jesus, because he invites us to do that, of course, in Scripture.
Where does he do that? Where in Scripture does he do that?
I think it's in Hebrews. I'd have to look that up for you.
But what does he say?
But so you join it with the sufferings of Christ, and in some way you make the fulfillment of his suffering on our behalf come to a greater completion, if you will.
It's interesting because where Paul said that I may make up for what was lacking in the sufferings of Christ, it sounds like sounds like heresy.
No, that's actually the passage.
So explain it to us, right?
What is lacking in Jesus, like he's incomplete. What is lacking in the fullness of that redemption pouring out across time and space? Mm.
It pours out through us.
Yes. Yeah. You and I have a continuous work to do. We are to continually to extend the kingdom of God through our prayer, through our suffering, through our worship. So that's right. The exact
process. Because we are part of the body of Christ.
That's right.
We are actually members. And so if we're going to be joined with Christ fully, we must also be joined with him there in the cross.
Exactly.
And so this mystery, our suffering now can be joined with Christ as a redemptive and an intercessory act. But Dan, when I was going through cancer and things like that, I found it very difficult to say, I offer this up for this. But right in the midst of the surgery, you're offering what you're going through up for the salvation
of
certain individuals. Wow.
Now, I've had good training, Bear. I mean, I've been in more surgeries than most people. So I've suffered. You know, I've had a tough life. I'm a victim of abuse as a child, and both cultic and violence in the home. And so I've had a lot of training, fortunately and unfortunately. So by the time I got to that surgery, which was only a few years ago, I had begun to understand how to conform my will with God's, which is to say, I accept what you know is best for me.
We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, Dan, but we'll come back to that. But it is that, it is in somehow then in that suffering that you see your own personal dignity in Jesus, because it makes sense. It makes sense of the suffering. It's not just wasted suffering. If you offer that up and you join yourself with Jesus, and how great a place to be with Jesus than on the cross, because only it was John and the women that stayed with him. And what a blessing for us to have that opportunity to be joined with him there. We're talking with Dan Burke about his new book, Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. Where can they find you and where can they find the book? And we'll come back and talk a little bit more.
SpiritualDirection.com is where you can find everything. It's the front door to the Avila Institute, the Apostle EVA community, all my books, SpiritualDirection.com.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. People love our EWTN TV show, Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak. Thanks to you, the show has won 4 different Tally Awards. And now, instead of waiting each week for the next episode to air, you can actually binge watch our show and even share it with your friends when you go to deepadventure.com and join the Mama Bears or the Man Cave. Along with all the other benefits, you get total access to all the seasons of our aired episodes, plus instant access to episodes that won't even air for several months. Long Ride Home with Bear Wozniak, a great way to communicate the gospel in a gritty enough way that even tough men will stop and watch at deepadventure.com. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak adventure possible.
Are you still listening? I thought we warned you to change to an easy listening station. Well, you asked for it. Here is more of the Bear Wozniak adventure.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak adventure. I want to invite everyone, the Mama Bears, please go to our website, deepadventure.com. I become part of the Mama Bears. And men, go to the man cave, deepadventure.com, become a member of the Man Cave and our 3-year School of Manliness, which you go through with us as other men, as we have every 2 or 3 weeks, we have a Zoom call where we get together various times of days and nights so that everyone can eventually come regardless of their schedule. And then we go through this 3-year curriculum. Part of it is based on my new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And but it's a great thing for men to go through this curriculum and through my new book with their sons. And you can even see they have their own login credentials to go through the school. So you can kind of, you know, how often does a father say to a son, well, how did your day go? How was your day today? And their response is, well, nah, nothing. What did you know? Nothing. Well, this is a way to have a conversation about a little bit deeper things. And so they can have their own login. They get to go through the videos and the written curriculum and the self-assessments. They don't get to be part of the Man Cave, but you can join with them there. And single moms, it's a great way for you to reach out to your young men too. We have as our guest today, Dan Burke. His new book, Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's The Uniformity with God's Will. A little bit of grit and grace, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in this surgery. Right during the surgery, you're offering this up in prayer, and continue.
Well, I mean, I'm bearing testimony. I had total peace. You know, I had no fear, no anxiety. The pain didn't bother me anymore. I mean, I don't mean to be hyperbolic. And pain hurts, and discomfort is discomfort. But it just didn't matter to me because I knew. You know, it's one of the reasons I converted, Bear. I mean, I'm Jewish by birth.
No kidding. Wow.
And I'm still a Jew, of course.
That's so cool, man.
I'm a fulfilled Jew.
My kids love the Jewish people. They do.
Well, when I was a young man, because of what I suffered, by around 19 or 20, I was ready to commit suicide because I had left home. But when you live in abuse and you leave home, abuse doesn't leave you. It torments you, and it did torment me. And I thought, you know, I cried out to God and said, if there's not a reason for suffering, I'm done. You got to show me, because I don't know how this is going away. And God be praised, he showed me, and I had some folks along the way who led me to Jesus and then eventually to the Catholic Church. But God be praised as well. I mean, the Catholic Church has the most powerfully developed and deep understanding of the theology of suffering. And that's really what we're talking about.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I only came to, so I had a lot of healing as a Protestant. I was very blessed. You know, I was a Southern Baptist and went through a lot of good. I mean, I came to know Jesus, really.
Yeah, I went to Baylor University, man. I was a Catholic going to Baylor. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Baptists. Love them.
Yeah. Well, you know, they helped me to find Jesus. So I'm grateful.
Amen.
But eventually it led me even deeper into deeper healing in the Catholic Church because of this understanding. And I think probably it was Catholic theology that really prepared me for that heart surgery where I was where I had so much peace. But I guess, you know, the whole purpose of coming on this show with you today is to give people hope, right? Is to say, if you're feeling tossed about and you're struggling with anxiety, one, it's not normal. It's not what God wants. You know, St. Paul in a prison said that you can have a peace that passes understanding. In the
book
of Acts,
that's right.
The apostles were beaten and they had joy. So if you can have everything taken away from you and you can be treated horribly and you can still have joy and peace, then that's testimony that no matter how bad it is for you, you can find that same peace that passes all understanding.
There's a peace that comes after you win a war. There's a peace that comes when everything is in order. But there is this peace That passes all understanding. When Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you," and he aloha'd his spirit, he breathed the Holy Spirit. It's profound. It's otherworldly. It's not just from talking your mind into saying everything's going to be okay. It is actually the Holy Spirit, right, you know, infilling us.
Well, and to finish that passage, he says, of course, not as the world gives you, do I give you. Mm. He said, it was a promise, mm-hmm, and then there's a command. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled.
Mm.
Do not let them be afraid.
Mm.
And he tells us how not to. Paul, in particular, in the epistles, says things like, the mind in Romans 8, the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and joy and the peace.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Another passage in Romans 12:1, be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
So that means we can renew the junk. We can reprogram and get escape from the junk. You've memorized a lot of scripture. That's one of the reasons I'm sane, is because I've memorized a ton of the New Testament myself.
Yeah.
And it helps. But what that's doing is it's aligning your intellect with God's mind.
Well, let me ask you about this, okay? Because I hear a lot of people now are so focused on what's wrong in the world.
Right.
You know, they're the cabal, the QAnon, mm-hmm, the woke culture, the trans, all the gender confusion, and we just talk and taxes and what's wrong with the church, and they go on and on and on and on, and they get their focus on that. And it just seems to me that the metamorphosis, I think that's the word used in that passage you just read, it's, may you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I hear people say things, well, you need to know about these things because Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, no, not that. Focusing on everything that's wrong is just, you know, when I'm riding my motorcycle, one of the things I've learned is if I hear a semi-truck coming to my left, I don't look to my left because I'll tend to turn into it and then I'll die. That's just, it's a natural tendency to turn the direction you're looking. If your focus is always on everything that's wrong in the world or on everything that's wrong in your life, it's death. The renewing of your mind, literally in the Greek, it's metamorphoso. It means may you be transformed, maybe like a worm becomes a butterfly. That's how,
and
that comes by the seeds of God's word being planted in our hearts.
Well, and let's just echo the voice of the Holy Spirit on that. Philippians 4, it's 4:6. Be afraid of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving.
Mm.
Christ be known to God. And he says, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brethren. So if you said to the Holy Spirit, what should I focus on? Help me to be obedient to your will. Whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if it be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things.
That takes discipline.
Totally takes discipline.
The virtue begins in, you know, and think about where he was. He was in Philippi. That's the jail. And the jail isn't jail. Jail is down in a hole. Have you been there? Have you been to that jail?
Oh, I have too.
Yeah. It's down in a hole with rats and dung and everything else.
But there's no bathrooms down there.
Right. You're in your own feces. So you so this, think on these things. It's a commandment.
It is.
When you find yourself, oh, I'm going to dwell on everything. Oh, people say to me, oh, you guys had it so easy when you were young. No, we didn't. The younger men of this generation have it easier than anybody anytime in the history of mankind. You get to live longer than 40 or 50 years. You probably didn't die in when, you know. And so we can focus on everything that's wrong. And what good is it? It's a whining, complaining man versus a man that does what? Uniformity with God's will. I love
Amen.
That. I love that scripture verse where the three young men are in the fiery furnace. God is able to save us. Whether he does or not, it doesn't matter. We will praise him.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Give us a couple minutes of the best so we can break off with your wisdom.
I just want to make a promise to you. I just want to say the passage that we both quoted at John 14, is a promise from Jesus, and he's not a liar. My peace I give you, my peace I leave you, not as the world gives, which means it's an internal peace. But he said, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. St. Paul said that we must take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, that we must recognize the strongholds and the lies and resist them, and instead embrace the truth about God. When we do that, we slowly transform our minds, the metamorphosis, to prove the will of God, which means to live it out and demonstrate that it's true. You're called to live in peace in Jesus. You're called to live in freedom. Choose it, rely on him, run, stumble, fall, let him pick you up, but never give up running toward him, and you're gonna find that peace.
Lord, we thank you for our brother Dan Burke. I know he prays for so many, but we pray for him. We pray for his wife. We pray for his family. And we pray for his ministry. We just pray that you'd be wind beneath his wings, that you would fill his sails, and that you would give him grace, long life, prosper him and his family. We pray that in Jesus' name. And for all those that are listening, I don't think I've ever prayed for a guest like that before. But we love you, Dan. Thanks for joining us on our show.
It's been good.
Where can people find you again?
SpiritualDirection.com.
No more direct. SpiritualDirection.com. And the book that we've been talking about, based on St. Alphonsus Liguori's book. There we go. Finding peace in the Storm. Reflections on St. Alphonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. That's the key thing. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, some say it was at that cave on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he taught them, one of the things he taught them was to say, "Thy will be done." And then Jesus prayed that on the Mount of Olives. Praise God for Dan Burke and his ministry. Lord, we ask you just bless them, prosper them, care for them. And till next week, as we say here, Dan, we always say the words of Jesus. May the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
Thanks for listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Find more manly conversation at the Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure YouTube channel. Subscribe and ring the bell.